Welcome to the Healthy You Radio Network, radio that empowers you to heal you. This is Keisha Ewers, your network host, and I'm proud to introduce the most dynamic show on radio that's all about the health of your mind and the expansion of your consciousness. Welcome to Mind Matters Radio with meditation and Reiki master Ajayan Boris.
Ever wonder what you're really capable of? Scientists tell us we use only a fraction of our true potential. Welcome to Mind Matters, part of the Healthy You Radio Network, where we'll explore the frontiers of human growth. Find out what experts in the field of psychology, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, and science have to say that will help you to live your life to the fullest. And now your host, Ajayan Boris.
And good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ajayan Boris, your fellow explorer of human potential, and we're here every Monday for one reason, and that is to give you guys the latest and greatest to help you heal and develop your minds. And today, we have a rather unique situation. This could be the first time this has ever happened in radio history. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Something brand new.
Yeah, exactly. And that is, our guest is me. And we actually have a wonderful, all of you hopefully remember Kathleen Lawrence. She was the co-host on this show for many, many months. I think probably for at least a year or so.
Yeah, it was a little over a year, I think.
Yeah. And she is going to actually interview me on my latest book called Effortless Mind, Meditate with Ease. And so it should be fun.
I'm really looking forward to it. When I got the book, I was so excited that finally this book came out. And and then when I got it and started reading it, I immediately ordered a dozen for some of my clients over in Eastern Washington.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great book, Ajay. Yeah. And you did really well.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Actually, you know, it's interesting also because the idea for this book came from another guest on the show. I don't know if you knew the history.
No.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I'd been asked to write a book on meditation many times over the years. And I always kind of put it off thinking, no, I got my classes. That's good. And then I interviewed Mark Allen, who is the, you know, the owner and, of New World Library.
Book. Yeah.
Right. And he's just a fabulous guy. And he's written many wonderful books. And he runs his company. It's basically an ideal company, a very, you know, conscious kind of approach to business. And so anyway, I interviewed him several times over a couple of years. And I think it was the last time. And he said, Ajayan, I saw your website and I just love it. I want you to write a book for us. And so the idea came from him, and he basically had the whole vision of it.
And did he really?
He really did. He actually had exactly, you know, what he envisioned, the title and everything. And we just went for it, you know. And the irony is that I had sent New World Library at least two or three manuscripts over the years, and I always got turned down. So finally.
Well, when it's Mark's idea.
Yes, exactly. That worked out well. All right. So I'm going to just hand it over to you, Kathleen.
Okay. Well, I first of all, I really wanted to acknowledge the hard work that you put into this and how much I realized I underlined all kinds of little pearls of wisdom in the very beginning of it. So I really like how you set this up, how you set up the book, and that it's so practical and that it's so usable. Mm-hmm. So I want to let you know that I appreciate that part of it right up front in case I don't have time to tell you later.
Oh, okay.
So,
thank you.
So let's go ahead and start with effortless meditation. And even the word meditation brings up lots of different kinds of views for people. So I thought maybe we'd start with, what do you mean by meditating?
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, there's so many different forms of meditation out there, of course, and many different approaches. The way I look at it is that a meditation that works, that really is successful, sooner or later, it's going to make the mental activity of the mind quieter. It's going to not necessarily that you'll have, like a lot of people envision, that you'll suddenly have a silent mind. I'm not talking about that. but actually that your attention will go to subtler and subtler levels of thought, of subtler levels of the mind. And that's really where the, you know, the juice of the mind is, in that those really delicate, subtle layers. You know, that's where that creative intelligence is that, you know, comes out of us. So, and it's coming from somewhere. All these thoughts, we have millions of thoughts. I don't know how many. I think it's something like 60,000 thoughts a day, some crazy estimate like that.
I think it's even more than that, maybe.
Yeah, it could be. At least
that for might
us.
Be in an hour for me.
Right. So, all these thoughts, you know, where is all that juice coming from? You know, and you can actually track it back to its source. And basically, all thought is an sort of a vibration or an excitation of awareness. So thought is vibrating awareness. And so in meditation, what you're doing is coming to quieter and quieter levels of excitation of awareness, or quieter and quieter levels of thought, until you transcend that faintest impulse of a thought. And then you're not asleep. You're still awake. But you're just simply abiding in the very core of your being, which is a state of pure awareness itself. So that's kind of how I look at meditation. It's actually a very traditional way of looking at it.
Right.
And of course, there are many approaches, but sooner or later, they all get to that point.
Yeah. And you know, I like your explanation, and it is a more traditional, which is interesting given you talk about effortless meditation. And most of us who have been in some form of meditation would say, effortless, really?
Right.
Do you know how hard I worked at that, Jan?
Okay.
So,
well, let's talk about
that's what I want to talk about, is effortless meditation and what that means and how you came up
okay.
with that.
Okay. So this is a really good question, and it's very important to understand, because what I just described meditation as being, it's actually, because you're going to these quieter and quieter levels of thought, in a way you could say you're doing less and less. The activity is becoming quieter, so you're doing less. It's like the difference between running and then walking slowly, and then just walking very slowly, and then standing still. So that's what you're doing. You're going from that conscious thinking level to a very subtle level of thought, to a subtler level, to the faintest impulse of thought, and then that dissolves, and then you're simply being. So what meditation is really about is coming to that state of being, and you can't do getting to being. You have to simply be. You have to do less and less and less until you're just being. And so that means that meditation should be an experience of, you know, really increasing effortlessness and ease. It should just get easier and easier and easier until you're doing absolutely nothing. You're just simply being. And that's the way it can actually happen. And of course, people who have, you know, great experiences of meditation, they'll say, wow, it just happened. I just fell into it. It was like I was just meditated, you know. So this effortless mind meditation that I teach, the beauty of that is simply to systematize that experience of effortless, you know, being, so that you can have that experience every time, that it's not willy-nilly, it's not chance that once in a while you'll have a really good meditation, but that all the time you can have a really good meditation. And another thing about effortlessness is, you know, any time you shift from that waking state where the ego mind is really fully engaged, you know, like we are right now, okay, like everybody listening right now. So anytime you shift from that state, which is the waking state, to another state of consciousness, it has to happen effortlessly. And the reason for that, now let's take, for example, going from waking state to sleep.
Right.
You know, if it has to happen effortlessly, because every insomniac knows the harder you try to fall asleep, the surer you'll just toss and turn all night long. You know, it's only when you kind of forget about falling asleep that suddenly you're waking up the next morning and saying, oh, I feel rested. So it's like nature does it, right?
Right.
And we can't do it. And that's true of meditation as well. Nature has to do it. You can't do it by effort, because if you're making an effort, then you're keeping that agitates the mind and keeps the mind on the surface.
And I think that's really a good point, because that goes into what you talk about thoughts. and frequently I've heard with people, I never meditate because I can't control my thoughts.
Right.
And you have a very different type of a view on that, on trying to control thoughts or what that is or our inability to do it, which I thought was, I love the way that you explained that in the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's many things about thoughts. One is, first off, as long as you have a mind, you're going to have thoughts, because a human mind is nothing but consciousness fluctuating in thought waves. And if all those fluctuations cease, then you're in the state of what they say, no mind.
Right.
Okay, so then you're in a state of no mind. So in a sense, you don't have a mind. You just have pure consciousness at that point. As soon as the thoughts start up again, then you have a mind. Well, so we should accept that during the practice of meditation, it's not that we're going to always just be in no mind. You know, it's going to be this state of, we're going to be floating in the depths of the mind. And it's kind of like this, the way I look at it. If you think of the mind as an ocean, mm-hmm. and up until now, we've been kind of being bounced around on the surface of the ocean from thought wave to thought wave. So once we start to meditate, it's like dipping underneath the surface of the ocean. And as soon as you do, you'll feel that inner silence. You'll feel some peace and ease and silence, right? Because you're going down. But it doesn't mean that all the waves on the ocean have to cease. They can be going on in the periphery, and it's not causing a problem. So anyway, thoughts really aren't a barrier to meditation. The other thing is, it's part of the whole process of purification that happens in meditation. I don't know if you read that chapter yet.
Yes.
I talk about that. It's similar to the idea of dreams during sleep. You know, we have different cycles during sleep. We go to deep, dreamless sleep, and then we have a cycle of dreaming. And then we'll have another cycle of dreamless sleep, and so on. And although scientists don't know everything about sleep, they do know that both of those cycles serves a really important purpose for restoring, you know, the body and the nervous system.
Right.
So you need that dreaming state. If they deprive you of dreams, you know, then you can go crazy, right? So you need that. And similarly, in meditation, there's cycles. You'll have deep, deep, pure awareness. You'll have deep experience. And then you'll also have times where there's lots of thoughts. Well, those are very much akin to the dreaming state of sleep. They're serving a purpose. It's part of the package of meditation. And if you resist that, you're actually resisting what is part and parcel of the experience of meditation. And you actually need that. That's part of the purification that goes on.
And I really like the comparison also between that and an insomniac trying to go to sleep, because mm-hmm. I think trying to control the thoughts or trying to make the thoughts go away or anything along those lines, it's like you say with the agitation, it prevents exactly what you're going for.
Right.
So it's the opposite. So much of our lives, it seems to me, that we are acting in ways or doing in ways that are actually accomplishing the exact opposite of what we're trying to do. So that's mm-hmm. why I really like your steps in this book also that go through that, because it gives these layers of things and ways to get there.
Mm.
So it was really nice to read that and to see that. The other thing I was thinking of is with thoughts pass, as you say, you'll have those times of thoughts. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that I use that in therapy when I'm doing trance work with people is it's kind of like that banner at the bottom of the screen on a news show that just keeps going by and going by. You don't grab onto it. You just let it go by.
I like that. Yeah. That's really good.
So, and that's, again, that's what it brought up for me too, when you were talking about thoughts and that it's actually okay that you have thoughts during meditation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Feeling frustrated or bad about thoughts when it's part of that whole package of meditation and part of that purification that happens in meditation, it's like lamenting the fact of having a bunch of dreams at sleep during sleep. And it will make your whole path a path of frustration.
Right.
You know, that's where there's a line in the Bhagavad Gita that, and for those who don't know what the Bhagavad Gita is, it's just a very popular scripture in India. That says that, you know, there's nothing in this world so purifying as knowledge. And that can be taken at many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
One level is simply that, you know, you can imagine how important this understanding of that thoughts are okay in meditation is, because otherwise you'll be fighting yourself and fighting nature when you try to meditate, or when you sit to meditate from now and, you know, the rest of your life. That would be a terrible thing. And so just having this simple piece of knowledge that thoughts are okay, they're a part of the meditation, we just don't have to be concerned with them. Just like you said beautifully, that that thing at the bottom of the screen going through, you know. So that piece of knowledge is invaluable. Another meaning to that is, you know, the basis of knowledge is consciousness. So consciousness is actually referred to in India as absolute knowledge, just prajnanam. It's the sort of seed, concentrated, pure knowledge. And there's nothing so purifying as that. And so that's what the beauty of meditation is, coming to that state of prajnanam, coming to that state of pure consciousness, has a hugely purifying effect on the mind and the body and the subtle body, the energetic body that I talk about in the book. And so it's inevitable that that's going to, you could say, stir up stuff, but it's going to be right. Cleansing. And part of that cleansing process are the thoughts during meditation.
Good. Also, since you brought up energetic body, do you want to say more about that?
I do, but I think we're time for a break.
Oh, good. We'll take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll be back with Ajayan and continue.
All right. Thanks, Kathy.
To the ocean, so lead me down by the ocean.
Do you suffer from allergies, food sensitivities, hormone imbalance, depression, fatigue, weight gain, burnout, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, autoimmune disorders, skin problems, anxiety, or have stomach or gut issues? There is a solution. Keisha Ewers has over 30 years in medicine and brings the world of naturopathic medicine, Ayurveda, and her Western medical education together to form an integrative approach to solving the root cause of illness. Keisha spends more time with her patients than most doctors and really listens to their stories in order to help cure a problem rather than just treating symptoms. Give yourself the gift of good health and call Keisha today. Take care of your life and call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376 for an appointment. For more information about Keisha and Fern Life Center, go to fernlifecenter.com, mention this ad, and get a copy of Keisha's anti-inflammatory lifestyle article for free. Most insurance plans accepted.
Do you suffer from pain? Pain comes in many forms, from muscle aches and pains to nerve pain. It's painful not to have the energy you want, or to suffer from allergic reactions to food, the environment, or your pets. An innovative technology that is being used at Harvard Medical School could be your answer. The Aura PTL laser system is like acupuncture with no needles. It works on the energy body and the physical body, bringing relief from pain, hormone imbalance, adrenal fatigue, and even allergies of all kinds. Combined with homeopathy, this non-invasive therapy brings healing on all the levels of your body. To find out more about laser therapy, go to fernlifecenter.com or call 425-391-3376. That's 425-391-3376. Your consultation with Keisha Ewers, ARNP, is covered by most insurance companies. Call now.
If you are tired of feeling sluggish, overweight, and out of balance, then welcome to the Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method. The Fern Life Center now offers this medically designed protocol that results in fat loss while sparing muscle mass. The Ideal Protein Weight Loss Method is an easy four-phase protocol that helps stabilize the pancreas, hormones, and blood sugar levels while burning fat and maintaining muscle. Not to mention an excellent support for cellulite reduction. The best part? We guarantee success. Welcome to your last diet. Call the Fern Life Center now and register for our next free introductory seminar. That's right, free. Call 425-391-3376 or go to fernlifecenter.com. Mention this ad and qualify for a drawing to receive your first product free. Call 425-391-3376 and find your healthy you. Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Ajayan's next Effortless Mind Meditation class will be held March 9th. Visit ajayan.com to register and for more information.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
We're back with Ajayan, and when we left, we were going to just start talking about the energetic body.
Right. Okay, so if anybody missed the first segment or the beginning of the show, Kathleen Lawrence is back today, and she is interviewing me on my new book, Effortless Mind, Meditate with Ease. And anyway, it's just so delightful to have you back. I love talking with you, Kathleen.
Yeah, me too. It's like we have a mutual admiration society with each other in here.
Right.
But it's just so exciting to see each other again.
And, yes, exactly.
And the energy is so good. I just love being back. So
yeah. And if anybody's over in Eastern Washington in the Richland area, well, that is where Kathleen now hangs out. And she's got a practice there, a thriving practice. I don't know if I should plug it anymore. You're already too busy to come back to the show.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's interesting because I thought I was going to start a little part-time practice and maybe do some workshop things. And what ended up happening was my practice was full in a month.
Wow.
And then on top of that, I do some group types of workshops. I do some company consulting and Myers-Briggs kinds of things and couples workshops, things like that. Mm-hmm. So it ended up being an awful lot busier than I thought it would be. But my office is a mile from my house, and it's right on the Columbia River. So I walk to work every day.
And nice. Wow.
We live on the river also. So I watch the herons and the geese and the fish jump. And
really? And you probably get some sun now and then, too.
Yeah, 300 days a year. I really like that.
Ooh, that's nice. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So energetic body,
too.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the energetic body is, I talk a lot about this in the book because a lot of the techniques work specifically on the energetic body. And this is so important as an entree into, pure meditation, you could say. So what is the energetic body? Well, probably a lot of the listeners already know the energetic body. You know, if you've done acupuncture, you've been introduced to the energetic body. You know, both the Indian system and the Chinese system, have that concept that there is subtle energy or life breath, prana. It's called in India, in Sanskrit, it's called prana. In China, it's called chi, I guess.
Chi.
Uh-huh. And whereas in India, they say the subtle channels through which this prana flows are the nadis. And they're said to be like 72,000 nadis throughout the body. So a lot of them.
A whole bunch.
Yeah, right. And then in of course, the meridians in the Chinese system. So anyway, the idea in both systems is that if you can optimize health and your awareness, your creative, awareness, by getting those energies to clearing the subtle channels for an even, harmonious, and balanced flow of that energy or that prana throughout the body. Mm-hmm. Okay. And of course, the chakras, which probably everybody's heard of by now, the chakras are a part of that, system of the energetic body. They are the primary centers of consciousness and energy. And when you start to get those nadis cleared, then those energies can flow and open and clear those chakras, those centers of higher, you know, consciousness and energy. So it's very closely related to meditation, of course. And there are a number of practices that you can do to, you know, start to tone, so to speak, this energetic body.
Right.
And I talk about a main one in the book called Mula Bandha. And this is considered by a lot of yogis to be like a master key at beginning to awaken those subtle energies and getting them to flow through the nadis and start to open the chakras and all of that. And it's a very simple exercise, and yet its effects are really profound. And so it used to be that I would teach this. It's called Mula Bandha. Mm-hmm. I used to teach it just to kind of advanced students.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found through experimentation that even you know, people just learning meditation could have much better, deeper experiences with just a little application of this Mula Bandha. So I now teach it in my one-day class.
So people can learn that right from the beginning.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, and it's a wonderful thing because it kind of helps put you into a deeper state right from the start. And that assists you in this whole effortless approach. You know, because you can feel, oh, something's happening. You know, you feel that inner peace, that silence and stillness inside. And you can just, you know, you're starting to go deep just through this. And so then it's easy to just be and to let go and go even right. deeper into it. So it's, and then there's also a lot of techniques of pranayama. Mm-hmm. Prana, you know, pranayama.
Breath.
So it has to do with that life breath, that subtle energy. And then ayama actually means expansion. Now, oftentimes pranayama is kind of misunderstood to be the combination of the words prana and yama. And yama means like a regulation of.
Right.
So it could mean that. But most of the yogis who are in the know,
mm-hmm.
you know uh-huh. say that it's actually ayama is the word, and that means expansion. So it means expanding prana through the entire body. And you can feel this when you're doing these techniques of pranayama that I teach as well, that you're getting filled up with prana. And in fact, in the Yoga Vasishta, which is a wonderful text, Advaitic text, in there, Vasishta is teaching Rama,
mm-hmm.
you know, of the Ramayana. I'm saying a lot of stuff that might mean nothing to a lot of people, but a few people might follow
right.
that. Okay, so anyway, he teaches that, you know, through pranayama, all the nadis get so full of prana that it's like they, you know, they feel like a stick. It refers to that, you know, like it's kind of like you just feel full. And that's a really apt description of what you feel.
Really?
And then that's said to lead to the body lifting off the earth and floating through the sky. And
yep.
I tell you, when you're doing these practices, you will feel that. You'll feel like you're just can practically lift off, you know. So anyway, it's very interesting. And but the main thing is that it serves to really open the doors to effortless meditation.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing about it was you talk about when we talk about who should meditate or and in your book, you say that we all need to meditate and why. And this, when you talk about the energetic body and the flow of energy,
mm-hmm.
And also that you actually can feel it, that you have this sense, this
mm-hmm.
physical sense and an emotional sense, a spiritual sense can happen in that process. So then within all of that, I think about people with depression or
mm-hmm.
anxiety or even our active doing, we are the culture of doers, doing life
mm-hmm.
And that there's this whole separate sense of things in meditation and that I could see it lifting someone out of depression entirely.
Absolutely. You know, I'm really glad you brought that up because, you know, that's the thing, like, these different emotional states, like every emotional state, as you well know, is going to have its physiological sort of correlated stuff that's happening, right?
Right.
I mean, you get, let's say in depression, of course, you know, there's a certain chemistry or biochemistry to depression. Now, maybe they haven't identified everything about it, but they do know that, oh, well, we can kind of curtail that biochemistry by taking this pill, you know, or
right.
whatever. Same with anxiety. You know, if you get really angry, you can feel all the physiological effects. Well, likewise, there are physiological effects when you meditate, very definite physiological effects. And, of course, they know that stress hormones are reduced during right. meditation. You go into what's a parasympathetic activated state, which is the opposite of that fight or flight, you know, stress response, the sympathetic mm-hmm. response, right? So there's a whole kind of integrated change that takes place and many different chemical changes that I'm sure, you know, nobody's fully studied yet, of course. But subjectively, what you experience is a kind of a sense and feeling of felicity, of you just feel good. You feel this peace, this ease, and it's a very wonderful, a pleasant feeling, even in the beginning. And as you gain more and more clarity, as you continue to practice meditation, then it starts to become even much more. It becomes blissful, you know, positively right. blissful. Like in the beginning class, you know, when I teach, you know, it may be that people don't relate to the word bliss. They don't even know what bliss is, you know, unless you say, well, okay, how about when you have an orgasm, you know?
Yeah, say, there you go.
Yeah, okay, bingo. All right, so, but this is kind of like similar, but sort of a quieter quality to it, and it can be just as intensely blissful, even more so. And that comes with that clarity that you gain through, you know, some time of practicing meditation regularly. Anyway, so the point is, there's, whereas, you know, depression has its own state of, you know, biochemistry,
right.
and anxiety has its own, bliss has its own, and you can start to develop that. And that will counter in a natural way these other states of, say, depression, anxiety, whatever.
Exactly. And, you know, Dan Siegel does a lot of work with neurobiology and changing it through mindfulness, which
right.
I also wanted to ask you about that too. But changing that we actually can through processes, through meditation practice, breathing even.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things I tell people who have panic attacks or get high anger very quickly, mm-hmm. first thing I tell them to do is breathe, mm-hmm. breathe. Because that changes the chemical process of what's happening in our brain.
Right.
Breathing. Mm-hmm. So that being a natural part of meditation process, beginning with the breathing, you're changing the neurobiology and the chemistry that's flowing through your brain.
I
just
know.
Breathing. It's wonderful.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
Yeah.
That's why I love this stuff. It's so simple, and it's innate. We have that ability within ourselves. We can breathe. You know, we got the
right.
tools right there.
Right.
And we have a mind. We can, therefore, go to these subtler levels of mind. You can actually, you have the power to alter your whole biochemistry, your, you know, your
right.
neurophysiology. You can play with that in a way that you want to, you know, make it better.
I really like the thought also that we're kind of changing our culture a little bit. Instead of the instant fix being a pill to take, that a lot more with medicine is combining things mm-hmm. like meditation with. And
mm-hmm.
it's, I don't want anybody going off their prescribed medication. I'm not suggesting that anybody should do that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you know, it takes with antidepressants that are handed out so readily,
mm-hmm.
and it takes 3 weeks to really receive any benefit that you might receive from that. And studies are showing that in a great many people that are taking those, it really doesn't have a benefit, or it has a very temporary benefit. And I think about if you spent half the time in meditation and practicing, you probably could have a better effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that I would love to see any of the doctors out there. I would love to see somebody get into a research project on that.
Yeah. Well, of course, I think there's been a number of research projects on meditation.
Right.
And many, many different
yeah.
research projects.
Yeah. Right. So then also you talk in your book a little bit about mindfulness and meditation and some of the difference between the two. And I think about Dan Siegel's work again, because his is very much in the neighborhood of mindfulness as a regular practice. And so I wanted to hear some of what your views are on the mindfulness versus meditation, or how they correlate or how they come together.
Right. Okay. Of course, you know, actually, mindfulness, just the term now, has become very popular.
You know?
I mean, it's just all over the place, everywhere. And there are actually, of course, techniques of meditation that are based on the principle of mindfulness, right? So, and what the way I look at it is, you know, whatever works for a person, if you're practicing some mindfulness technique and it's really working well for you and you feel like you're getting the benefits, then, you know, great. Then go for it. But the way I look at it is that I would say mindfulness as a principle is incredibly important. For me, it's more in the realm of integration of the effects of meditation. And I'll explain that in a minute.
Yeah.
But as a technique of meditation, generally, it's a little bit because you're starting from that conscious thinking level, and you're being mindful from that level. It does still the mind. It does start to quiet the mind, which is a good thing for sure. But as far as like beginning that sort of transcending into those subtle regions of the mind, you could say, it's going to be a little slower at that aspect of the process of meditation. And but it does serve, you know, other purposes very effectively. So, and I think the most important thing of mindfulness is that it's essential if you're going to integrate the benefits of meditation. And I'll tell you why. Like my first teacher years ago used to say, meditate and act. You know, this was the formula for growth.
Right.
Meditate, go draw the arrow back deep, you know, back. To that state of full potentiality and that state of pure awareness, and then let go of the arrow and be dynamic in your activity and so on. And of course, that's a really important thing, that you're not just thinking that you can grow personally by just meditating. You do have to integrate it. You know, you have to have the experience of all that life, you know, puts on your plate to mold you. It's not just about what happens in meditation on the cushion. You have to, it's all the demands of life, the requirements of relationship, of school, of work, and all of that, that kind of, you could say, coaxes your full potential into actualization, you know?
Yes.
So, and that's so important for integration. So it's a matter of balance, right?
Yes.
So anyway, that was the principle he was getting at. However, what I discovered was over many years of doing this is that despite a lot of growth and, you know, feeling more creative, a lot of more lightness of being and joy and everything, this sort of personal transformation that I was looking for in a way that would lead towards what I thought of as enlightenment, you know, was kind of eluding me, right? And what I realized was it's not just about meditating and acting. We have to meditate and act with a really astute mindfulness so that your whole day becomes, in a sense, a meditation.
Ooh.
You know?
I'm going to talk more about that, but I just saw the high sign here that we have to take a break.
Is Eric caught? Okay. All right.
So we'll be back in a few minutes and talk some more.
With a billion stars all around, 'cause I got a peaceful, easy feeling, and I know you won't let me down.
Imagine your physician prescribed you soothing, synchronized warm oil massages from two therapists, individualized herbalized steam treatments and herbal packs,
Shirodhara,
chakra balancing meditations, and much more. This tension easing treatment that relieves anxiety, ringing in the ears, autoimmunity, stress-induced issues, and insomnia can be found at Fern Life Center. Call today and experience what the people of India have utilized to stay young and vibrant since 5,000 years ago. The Panchakarma Therapy Program at the Fern Life Center cleanses your body, mind, and spirit to achieve perfect health through the ancient Eastern medical wisdom of Ayurveda. Prepare your body for the change of seasons and melt away hidden stress with the Panchakarma treatment from Fern Life Center. Call 425-391-FERN or visit us in Issaquah to schedule your appointment with Keisha Ewers for your first consultation. You can find out more information online at fernlifecenter.com. Fern Life Center's Panchakarma Therapy. Detox, relax, and heal. Mention this ad and get a free detoxifying steam treatment with any regular massage. Insurance plans do not cover Panchakarma treatments, but usually cover the office visits with our medical providers. Again, call Fern Life Center at 425-391-3376 to schedule an appointment for this incredible anti-aging program.
Reiki is an ancient and powerful healing practice performed worldwide to treat pain, injuries, stress, and to promote deep relaxation. You can learn how to use Reiki for yourself in the Reiki 1 and 2 certification program at Fern Life Center in Issaquah. Learn the art of feeling, diagnosing, and treating with hands-on healing in Reiki 1. Incorporate distance healing in the Reiki 2 program. Become a certified Reiki master and teach your own classes with this life-changing educational program from Fern Life Center. Call today to start classes. 425-391-FERN. That's 425-391-3376. Or go online to fernlifecenter.com for more information about our products and services. Don't let the opportunity to learn a wonderful healing practice pass you by. Sign up for the Reiki 1 and 2 certification programs at Fern Life Center. 425-391-3376. Mention this ad and get your textbook free.
Food is medicine. A change to a diet that is suited to your body type, genes, and unique body needs can help with all health issues. Food as medicine can cure up to 75% of health issues and at least make a difference in 100% of health issues. Our nutritionist will spend at least an hour working with you to integrate healthy food choices into your unique life and work schedule. Erin is compassionate and listens to your food concerns, giving you recipes and meal plans that will fit into your life. Call 425-391-3376 today to make an appointment with Erin and take charge of your health.
Meditation heals and vitalizes both mind and body. Learn this wonderful art with world-renowned meditation instructor Ajayan Boris in the Effortless Mind Meditation Classes. The Effortless Mind Meditation Classes offer a direct experience of exceptionally deep meditation, accessible to anyone. Call the Fern Life Center today, 425-391-FERN. The Effortless Mind. So easy, anyone can do it.
Ajayan's next Effortless Mind Meditation class will be held March 9th. Visit ajayan.com to register and for more information.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
And I got a peaceful, easy feeling. And I know you won't.
One of the other things I realize that I really appreciate about being back is Eric and who is our producer and the music he does. I always enjoy it so much.
I know, he's brilliant.
He really is.
Yeah, he just comes up with these songs. I don't know where he gets them.
Yeah. Really nice job.
Yeah.
So you were talking about integration when we took our break, and I kind of interrupted you in the middle of that. But I thought you were there's some really nice things about integration, and wanted you to continue a little bit with that.
Okay, well, you know, like I said before the break, it became kind of a realization for me that it wasn't enough to just meditate and act; that you really had to be mindful and throughout your day. And you kind of also, you know, so sounds good, be mindful, but of what? You know what I mean? So that is the real challenge. And something that my wife introduced me to it was the Enneagram. Because what that teaches you is like there's now this is a whole different topic.
Right.
I covered a little bit in the book.
Yes.
But there's 9 different personality types in the Enneagram. And it sounds simplistic, but it's actually quite an amazing and complex, paradigm.
Very
and,
complex.
Yeah. And as you get into it, what you realize is there really are these certain personality types. And what they are is ways of adapting when you're a child to try ways that you find your happiness and sense of security and how to be loved and get love and all of this that you need as a child. And so we're doing our best and we find these different ways to do it. And there's basically 9 ways the human personality discovers. But there's downsides to each one of those ways.
Right.
And there are blind spots. So we end up sabotaging ourselves and our efforts in certain ways. And after all, we construct these means when we're, children.
Between 0 and 5.
Yeah, right.
And then many of them we end up trying to live with for the rest of our lives, not realizing that they're outdated.
Yeah, exactly. And so... So that is kind of a tool, if you will, like a magnifying glass to take a look at certain patterns that you're playing out in your life, and then you can be mindful of those. So it's a nice, it's a lever, like leverage. It gives you leverage on what to be mindful of. And I found in my life that that's been hugely helpful. And just to give you an example, maybe that example would be too complex.
One of the things I was going to ask you about it, though, is it when you talk about being mindful in that way, is there a sense of almost like you're outside yourself looking, seeing yourself so that you can actually see those patterns?
Well, it's not that you have to get outside yourself. You're still within, you're actually more in the center of yourself.
Right.
Because you're kind of witnessing it from the unconditioned core of yourself, which is just awareness, right? That's what meditation, this is the beauty of how meditation, this deep meditation that kind of seats you in the core of your being, is a wonderful complement to mindfulness, because then you're simply witnessing from that inner state of silence and consciousness, right? And so you don't have to, it's not a matter of you're dividing your mind into one part of your mind looking at another part. It's rather just simply being aware from the core of your being of what the more superficial aspects like your personality are doing and how you're behaving and what you're feeling, and those are all, they're also a part of you, but they're sort of more on the surface of you.
Okay.
So as you can start to become aware of these things, then through your attention, you can do just the opposite in a way.
Right.
And that's the neat thing about it. In the book, I talk about this wonderful quote from St. John of the Cross. Did you get to that place?
Yes.
The ascent of Mount Carmel. He talks about something that's really fantastic, that a lot of times, if you want to break these patterns, you kind of do the hard thing. This is a concept my wife came up with, but of course it's one of these perennial ideas. And the way St. John puts it, he goes, to come to the pleasure you have not, you must go by a way in which you enjoy not. To come to the knowledge you have not, you must go by a way in which you know not, etc. And so these certain patterns that come up, to become free of those, to become really unconditioned and kind of innocent, to become a really normal human being who's just aligned from the core of your being to the, your personality, all the layers get that all lined up and just very innocent and normal. That happens by kind of countering this childhood adaptations that we created.
Right. It's really interesting that you say this. This just, for me, recalled something that happened since I got your book.
Oh.
And I have been practicing using the steps in your book and meditating that way. I've done different meditations in the past, but this really is attractive to me. And because I'm wanting my clients to do it, I do it first also.
Great.
to receive some of the benefits out of it. But one of the things that I realized about meditating regularly is whenever I'm ready to grow, I go through a period of insecurity in some way. Something comes out. And recently what it's been is I'm taking kind of a new direction in my own work. And I go right into scarcity, which is my childhood stuff. There's never enough. There's never enough food. There's not enough. And so there's my fear. So when I start a new venture, when I'm in a successful, stable place, then I have this big fear that comes up and has come up recently since I've been using the meditations in your book, Ajahn.
All right. So it'll bring up stuff. Huh?
There it did. It brought up stuff. And that's exactly what you're talking about, where here comes this fear all of a sudden that's out of that insecurity of scarcity. And so what I'm practicing, one, you do the hard thing. The hard thing for me is to tell somebody else about it, to tell somebody else that it's happening, and to tell somebody because I feel foolish or I feel immature, or I should have gotten over this by my grand age of over 60, whatever it is. And so it's hard for me to tell. So the first thing I did, and so when that hard thing comes up, what I say is go into that hard thing, do that hard thing.
Right.
So that's what I did, is I told some of my closest friends, an associate that I want to bring into my business, and my husband. I told them all. So that now there's the walking right into it and saying, yeah, it's really going to be hard and it's going to be uncomfortable and it's not going to be fun and I'm doing it anyway.
Wonderful. Good for you, Kathleen. All right.
But that's kind of an illustration of exactly what you're talking about with this. Also. And what it triggered for me is I'm going through that right now, Jan. I wonder if it's because I'm doing this.
Yeah. I mean, it is true when you start to move on this path and you start to clear, the knotties, you start to purify, it's going to bring up stuff.
Right.
But then we grow much stronger for that, we gain self-knowledge and wisdom, and that's how we evolve, right?
So
Yeah. Beautiful.
So I appreciate that. Thanks. I got a whole new insight right there.
Okay.
So then I wanted to also cover some of the practical parts about meditating. How often should we meditate? And when's the best time to meditate? Like that.
All right. Well, how often? That's one thing that I think is kind of nice about teaching it in a book like this. And actually, all the meditations are laid out there. You can do what you like. So you don't have to, have a 30-minute program of meditation. Do what's realistic for you. If your lifestyle right now in this moment allows you maybe 5 minutes of peace or 7 minutes or 10 minutes, then meditate for that amount of time. You'll get the benefit. And then as you start to experience the benefit and feel the bliss of meditation, what to say? It is blissful.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot of discipline because it's blissful. So people will say, oh, you must be so disciplined, Ajahn, to do all that meditation. But actually, it's like saying, you're so disciplined to eat those two bowls of ice cream
right.
a day, those two heaping bowls. How can you do that? it's like that. So, but you got to get started to experience that. So just get started. And if that means 5 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever, and then you'll naturally start to gravitate towards it. And I would say a really ideal balance is to meditate maybe 20, 25 minutes, at least once a day. When I learned, we took it for granted that we meditated twice a day, and that's what I've always done. And I think that's the ideal balance, but again, I don't want to scare anybody.
I think I really like that you say start with 5 minutes a day, 7 minutes a day, if that's all you can do, because it's like you say, the positive benefits and the good feelings that you'll get and the good senses of things you'll get, the awareness that you get, how you see that traveling, even 5 minutes travels through your whole day. So getting all the positive benefits, it's not hard to do more.
Right. Right, exactly.
It just encourages you to do more. So it's that part. And I think the greatest advertising philosophy I've ever heard is the Nike philosophy of just do it.
Yeah.
So that committing to do it.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Right. And, you know, the way the book is laid out, you'll learn one technique, right? And that one technique takes about 5 minutes or even less. And so it's a good way to start like that. And then the next technique will expand on that a little bit and so on.
Right.
So, yeah.
I just realized we've already reached the end of the hour.
I know it. Isn't that amazing? Well, okay, I'll just say, Effortless Mind, Meditate with Ease, J.M. Boris. Check it out.
Check it out. Get the book. It's well worth it.
All right, Kathleen, thank you. And tune in with us next week. We're going to be interviewing Meadow Lynn, and she's written a fabulous book called The Mystic Cookbook. And my wife took one look at this. It arrived at the house, and she just took one look at it and grabbed it. I hope I can get it back for her from her for the interview. Anyway, it looks really good. So join us next week, The Mystic Cookbook. You've been listening to Mind Matters Radio, part of the Healthy You Radio Network. Join us next week.